Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to say good morning today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And I'd love to take the opportunity today to invite you to come and be with us. If you do not have a church home, we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages, 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, and then second and fourth Sunday nights we have preaching services. Sometimes we'll have a missionary, or I'll bring a special message to the church the Lord has laid on my heart. And so we'd love for you to come out and be with us. And I want to welcome you this morning to the Blessings of Liberty. This is brought to you as a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And I want to welcome all of our listeners today on 1450 AM WATA right here in Boone, North Carolina. And then on Saturday mornings at 9:30 AM on 690 AM Bristol, Virginia. We appreciate our listeners over there. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity for this radio broadcast to go out on these two fine radio stations. Noah's over here producing and turning knobs and doing little things today for me, and I appreciate that. And also, once again this week, we have Brother Jason Cornett with us. Good morning, Brother Jason. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. We appreciate you being with us. And next Tuesday morning, Brother Jason is going to take the radio broadcast and do that for us. I'll be out of town on that Tuesday, and he's going to fill in. So he's been coming along and helping out, and I certainly do appreciate that. The past week or so, we've been talking about the difference between being a true constitutionalist and a conservative or a liberal, either one really. I'll point out some things what we're talking about along those lines, but you know, really, if you look at it, and I want to say how thankful I am for this radio broadcast and the past, I guess we're coming up on 3 years now, it has really caused me to look hard at what the Bible says about civil government. Should Christians ever say anything about politics or anything like that? I have really been blessed to do a lot of study and a lot of reading and try to bring something fresh and new every week. And, you know, if you really look at things how they are, most of government today is filled with either people who will say, well, I'm conservative, I'm liberal, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, but very few people could be said about them that they are true, pure constitutionalists, that they believe in the Constitution of the United States and of the state governments, and they believe in the liberties and freedoms and the confinements and limits that are put upon government there, and would really just say, you know, I believe we ought to follow the Constitution. And I've been thinking a lot about that. I think we need to be aware that there is a huge difference between being a constitutionalist and just a conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican. Last week I said two things, and I'll just repeat them quickly this morning. But we said, first of all, a true constitutionalist reads, believes, and understands and follows the Constitution, whereas a conservative or a liberal only pays lip service and follows it when it's convenient for them to do that. Now, Noah's going to play a little clip. This was off the Sean Hannity program, and somebody sent it to me on Facebook, I think, and I clicked on it and listened to it. But this is a wonderful example of what I'm talking about. Now, he's going to play a clip from something Mr. Obama said, but you just listen in what he says about our founding forefathers.
Now then, this morning, the president refused to accept any responsibility for not delivering on his political promises of hope and change, but instead of blaming his usual culprit, President George W. Bush, well, this time he pointed his finger at our founding fathers. It's their fault. Listen to this.
What's frustrated people is that I have not been able to force Congress to implement every aspect of what I said in 2008. Well, you know, it turns out that our founders designed a system that makes it more difficult to bring about change than I would like sometimes.
Yeah, the thing called the Constitution gets in the way.
Well, I come across that after I'd already studied and put together the radio broadcast and thought, boy, what an example of, you know, are we going to follow the Constitution or are we just going to pay lip service when it suits us? And many examples could be given from both sides. You know, it's not just one side and not the other. Both the Republicans and the Democrats are guilty of just using the Constitution when it's convenient for them. So that's the first thing we said last week. Then we said, second of all, last week we said a true constitutionalist believes the Constitution is applicable to everyone's liberty and freedom, not just the ones they think are important. Now, just to give a quick couple of examples about that, we're going to read from the First Amendment in just a moment, but I promise you today there are conservatives out there, and I'm going to pick on the conservatives first of all. There are many people out there who would say, I'm a conservative, I believe in the Constitution and America and apple pie and Chevrolet and the whole ball of wax. Go to church every Sunday and maybe even take a big part in the service, you know. But there are those out there that would look at, for example, the Occupy protesters in our nation, people that for one reason or another, many different reasons, you know, they are protesting things that are going on. And there are conservatives that will hear of them being tased by the police, harassed, denied access to public property, arrested, hauled off to jail. And those conservatives, many of them, they'll say, well, that serves them right. They don't need to be out there anyway. Why don't they go get a job? Well, my question is, well, what about their First Amendment rights? They have First Amendment rights. If I do, they should as well. Brother Jason, you read for us the First Amendment there.
The First Amendment states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance.
And so I think the last part of that's pretty plain. The people have a right to peaceably assemble together and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And I have been, you know, I'll read articles even right down here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There were those that wanted to come and protest, you know, and the government basically told them when they could, where they could, how long they could, if they could. And, you know, hey, if you've got a right to peaceably assemble together, well, you've got it. And if it's good for one American to be able to do that, well, it's good for all. And another example would be the Second Amendment. Now, there are, pardon me, there are conservatives on one hand gladly take away the First Amendment rights of other groups they don't agree with. Well, on the other hand, there are liberals out there and some conservatives who would gladly do away with the Second Amendment rights of individuals in our nation. You know, I gave the example of the Boonetown Council and how they jumped quickly on the opportunity to restrict the right to carry of those who have went to classes, you know, they have a concealed carry permit. And we gave that example last week. I found something else I've been studying into a little bit. Mitt Romney, he is being promoted as the conservative alternative, you know. And when he was the governor of Massachusetts, he signed a bill to permanently ban semi-automatic firearms. This was in 2004, but here's what he said about semi-automatic firearms. We're not talking about machine guns that the military uses. We're talking about somebody would go duck hunting with a semi-automatic firearm or squirrel hunting, or would have a shotgun or a rifle in their home to defend. But here's what he said about semi-automatic firearms. He said, these guns are not made for recreation or self-defense. Well, they are. But anyway, that's what he said. He went on, he said, they are instruments of destruction with the sole purpose of hunting down and killing people, which that is not true. Him saying that sounds like something a ultra-left liberal would say and want to ban firearms. Well, there's several wrong things about that statement, but what about the Second Amendment? And Brother Jason, you've got it there. You read that for us this morning.
The Second Amendment states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
All right. There's several things there we could say about the Second Amendment. And, of course, every year and especially every election year, you know, this comes up over and over and over again. But when you get right down to it, this is necessary for the security of a free state. And it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. We need to send some good dictionaries to Washington and other places, you know, and let them look up what that infringed upon means. And one thing I've learned as I've studied this over the past several years, and history will prove this, that if government leaders and rulers are not restrained, then they will do anything. There's nothing that they will not attempt to do if there is not some restraint upon those who are become elected leaders. I mean, I don't know if they lose their mind. I read a book by Jim DeMint, Senator Jim DeMint. He is a Republican from South Carolina. He's a conservative. He's a born-again Christian. I believe he's one that I would say has good sense and, you know, tries to do right. But he wrote a book a few years ago called Saving Freedom. And he talks about the process in that learning. You know, he got into politics. He wanted to make a difference. He said, he wanted to go. He wanted to change things for the better. But he said he described that process of getting into politics and going to Washington. And he said it was like living in another world. And you get caught up in all of this stuff and lose the picture of the Constitution. And he said, and everybody, all the freshman senators was going through this same thing and how that there was a learning process. And, you know, after a while he said, hey, I'm not making a difference. We're so far away from the Constitution. And really it was an eye-opener to him. But the Constitution is designed to place limits upon our government so they don't get out of control, so they don't do just anything that they want to, but they get up there, they have power, they have money, they have influence over people's lives and careers and things like this, you know. And somebody might say, well, what's all this got to do with Christianity or the Bible? And, you know, what's the Bible have to say about this? I want Brother Jason this morning, he's going to read Psalms 149. And we'll point out some things. You know, I believe it's the divine will of God that government has limits. And so let's read. And if you have a copy of God's Word, you can certainly read along with us. But we're going to look in Psalms chapter 149.
Beginning with verse number 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord.
All right, there's 9 verses. That's a short chapter in the Word of God, but there's several things in there that could be pointed out that could make a parallel between the laws of our nation and how we as the governed people are supposed to respond. Now, there are those that would say, well, the founders of this nation were deists. They weren't Christians. They weren't Jews. And, you know, there's all kinds of arguing back and forth. But it cannot be denied that our founding fathers, many of them were Christians. Most of them were. Some of them were deists. Some of them maybe were what we would call agnostics, but they drew from the Bible. And that cannot be denied. Thomas Paine's writings, Thomas Jefferson's writings, Benjamin Franklin, right on and on, they referred to, and that was a guidepost in their life, whether they believed it like I believe it or not is irrelevant. They looked to the Bible. And they drew principles out of the Bible. There's several things in Psalms 149 that we could point out. I see in Psalms 149, I see we the people. He said in verse 4, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people." The people do have a part in the government. The verse number 9 said to execute upon them judgment written, "This honor have all his saints." The people did have a part in the government. I see freedom in verses 5 and 6. He said, "Let the saints be joyful. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth." There was a freedom of the people. It wasn't, "Don't let them do anything." Let them have freedom. I see participation in verse number 7. The people there, it's talking about to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. We could take a long time to go into this today, but I don't want to do that. But it wasn't just the king and the king alone, but the people participated in the laws of the land, in the government over themselves, and the things that government was involved in. The people were participated in that. I see the Second Amendment in verse number 6. Look what the Bible says there. "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." They were able to defend themselves. Now, they didn't have firearms, but they had swords. And I'll tell you, if you study out the Bible, when you see the children of Israel in slavery, they did not have any weapons. And that would take a while to point this out, but when they had weapons, they had freedom. When their weapons were taken away, for example, when they were in Egypt, they were in slavery. But the Word of God said there, "And a two-edged sword in their hand." They had the right to defend themselves. They had power over their leaders. Verse number 8 said, "To bind their kings." Let the people, it's going down and giving an example, let the people have freedom to do this and this and this. And verse number 8, "To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron." They had power. We could say, we the people in Psalms 149. And then they had, in verse number 9, they had rule of law. It wasn't just whatever the king wanted to do, but he said to execute upon them the judgment written. There was a written law that they were to follow by, just like our Constitution in the United States of America. We have a written law that we're to follow. We get away from that written law and we get into uncharted territory and we get ourselves into trouble. Now, if you don't think that our founding forefathers were Bible readers, let me give you an example of something that Thomas Jefferson said. Now, here in verse number 8, it said, "To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron." Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, "In questions of power, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." Brother Jason, we were talking about that before. You think he read the Bible?
No doubt about that. That's far more than coincidence would allow.
I don't think that's a coincidence either.
Right.
I think they read the Bible, and, you know, he sort of paraphrase there and maybe took a little liberty, but he said, forget about talking about having confidence in man. You know, I used to think, I'm being honest this morning, I used to think, you know, well, the government's going to do right. I didn't think about them doing things they shouldn't be doing, but I'll tell you, unlimited power is just a recipe for disaster and evil. And so Thomas Jefferson said, bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. I'm thankful for the Constitution. And we'll quickly go on and say another. We're talking about the difference between a true constitutionalist and somebody who just pays lip service. Maybe they're conservative, maybe they're liberal. It really doesn't matter. We need, in our day and time, some people that'll come along and be true constitutionalists. Now, the third thing I'm going to mention, a true constitutionalist will be more loyal to the Constitution than a political party, whereas the conservative or liberal will be more loyal to their party than the Constitution. You know, I expect our elected leaders to be as faithful to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, as I would a pastor to be faithful to the Bible. You know, if a pastor or preacher is unfaithful to the Bible, well, I wouldn't have any confidence in him for somebody to come along and say, I'm a pastor, I'm a spiritual leader, but I'm going to ignore and deny and change the meaning of the Bible. I wouldn't sit 2 minutes and listen to somebody like that. In fact, I would think to myself, they're an apostate. They got no business preaching the Word of God, pastoring a flock of people. They're a traitor to the cause of Christ. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. But Americans, they will elect leaders to go to Washington, to go to Raleigh, to go to wherever, and they will go right down there into that seat of power that has been entrusted to them, and they have taken an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and they'll go there and they'll trample upon it. And they will do directly contrary to what the Constitution says. And here's the real sad thing in America. Instead of Americans firing them, you know, getting rid of, voting somebody else, well, they reelect them, give them a raise, and most of the time don't say anything about what they do, laws that they pass, whether they're constitutional or not. And I think one of the reasons for that is just that most people just don't know what's really going on. We are trustworthy of our leaders. We think that, you know, they're going to do right. Well, they might do right, and they might do terribly wrong. Honestly, once upon a time, I thought that the GOP was God's own party. Yeah. You know, that the Republicans, while they were right, you know, they were believe like I did about abortion, gun rights. They were conservative. But, you know, while I just went along my snuggly little life, and Brother Bush, you know, he was up there signing the Bill of Rights away under the guise of fighting terrorism and the Patriot Act and all of these things. And I just really wasn't paying attention. And I think a lot of people aren't paying attention. They just pick one side, watch the news, believe everything they hear, and I'll tell you, it's a downfall in our country. I was read something a while back in the newspaper, and it was talking about the viewer ratings of the Republican presidential debate. I think there was a debate on the same night that American Idol previewed this year, and there was, and I'll be wrong in the exact numbers, but here's what was interesting about that. The people that, and I don't know how they count this, but the people that watched the presidential debate was something like 5 million people. The people that watched American Idol was something like 25 or 60 million, I forget, but it was so ridiculous. I read it to my wife. I said, here's part of what the problem is in our country. But the Constitution is important. It's more important than a political party. It's based upon the Bible. If we get away from it, we're getting away from that which our country was founded upon. It is so important. Brother Jason, have you got anything? I've sort of talked on.
While you were talking about this and something and just thinking about it, is it kind of reminds me of homecoming queen or prom king and queen. Basically, it's a somewhat of a popularity contest, and I think sometimes people are so out to make their promises to each individual, and they can't remember what they promised to which person. And I think a lot of times it's just to get in there. And then once they get in there, sometimes it seems like the power goes to their head, and they kind of lose track of possibly why they wanted to be there to begin with, and they revert back to just trying to make people happy, just trying to somewhat give them what they want, you know. And you can also parallel that with churches sometimes, that preachers may have pressures to say things, or they don't want to offend the people, but at the same time, you have to stand on the Word of God, and likewise, the our leaders need to stand on the Constitution and the Word of God.
Right. And there's a great parallel there between those two, because both of them are very, very important. And you was talking about a homecoming queen, king type of thing, you know. And sadly, what a lot of it boils down to in our nation is just who's got the most money.
Right, right.
And is that who we want for president or governor? You know, who's the richest person? Who's got the most money? And, you know, I think it's just a sad commentary on our nation that's what it boils down to, surely. And, you know, I'm sure that all of these men and ladies that are involved, you know, if you just sat down with them and had lunch or went and golfed with them or something, they'd probably be nice people. You know, I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I think there's better people.
Right.
But they don't even have a chance.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like David and Goliath. I preached on that last Sunday about David and Goliath. But, you know, we may not be able in and of ourselves, but the Lord is able. And I would encourage people in these uncertain times to look to the Word of God, have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And, you know, Brother Jason, there's a difference between just talking about that and really living it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There truly is.
If we have to really live by faith, there's a difference in living by faith and talking about living by faith. But I'm glad we've got one that we can put our faith in this morning.
Right.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in control. You know, I don't want people to get disheartened and discouraged. But it's a serious day and a serious time that we're living in. So I encourage you, read Psalms 149 when you get home or when you get somewhere where you can, and read a proverb every day. I've encouraged people for years to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and that's one for every day of the month. And I've done that for probably over 20 years now, and I'm continually finding something new and something fresh that speaks to my heart and helps me from the Word of God. So Noah's going to come in just a moment, and he's going to give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Brother Jason, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
And I thank you ahead of time for filling in next Tuesday morning. Brother Jason is going to be here, and he's going to do the blessings of liberty. Noah, if you would give us the contact information. Y'all have a great day, and God bless you is my prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.